It is awesome to be with you guys every Monday night, ministering the Word of God to you. It really is a privilege to be here, and we do this out of the love of God, because God loves you and we love you. And if there's a need that we can meet, we're here on Monday nights to help you meet that need in Jesus' name. Amen? Over the last several weeks, we started this series on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And I gave the comparison in the natural realm that if you want oranges, the fruit called oranges, you plant orange seeds, right? If you want plum fruit, you plant plum seeds and you nurture that seed, right? You know, if you want apples, what do? You plant apple seeds and you nurture that seed. You look after it, right? If you want that type of fruit, you've got to plant seeds and you've got to look after those seeds. It's the same way in the spiritual realm. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, should be a natural result of the seed of the Spirit of Christ planted in the soil of our hearts. Planted upon the throne of our hearts. You know, when you became a believer, when you said, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior, guess what? The seed of the Spirit of Jesus Christ was planted on the soil or in the soil of your heart. You agree with that tonight? All right. Well, last week we spoke on the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. And the way I defined faithfulness was this. It's a consistent steadiness to a course of action without fail. Say that again. Faithfulness is a consistent steadiness to a course of action without fail. Now, some of you may have wondered why the clock is not up there, because it's part of my little illustration that I'm going to play upon a little more tonight. Now, here we've got the clock that normally hangs up there, right? And you look at that second hand, right? That second hand is what? That second hand is consistent. Right? It consistently and faithfully ticks 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, and 24 hours a day, right? Without fail. You agree with that tonight?
Yes.
Amen. All right, you can take this clock, right? And you can put it outside on a really cold winter day, and guess what? The second hand will still consistently tick, right? You can take this clock and put it outside on a really hot summer day. And guess what? The second hand will still consistently tick. You can hang this clock in a room where people are yelling, where fists are flying, where people are full of strife. They're cursing at each other. And guess what? The second hand faithfully ticks away. Right? It doesn't matter what the situations are around this clock. It's still, the second hand still ticks and ticks and ticks and ticks. Now let me ask you this question tonight. What allows this red second hand to consistently and faithfully tick? Under any condition? The power source, the battery. And so tonight, I'd like to talk with you on the fruit of the Spirit called patience. The fruit of the Spirit called patience. You know, patience can be compared to the battery behind that clock. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22, and this is what it says. Paul the Apostle writing about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, as I said, is planted on the soil of your heart. A natural result should be the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruit is patience. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's easy to faithfully tick away in your course of action in life when things are going well. You agree with that tonight? It's easy to be faithful when things are going well, right, in your life?
Yeah.
To be consistently steady when things are good, right? But it takes the fruit of the Spirit called patience to tick away faithfully when things are not going so very well, right? Takes patience to tick away faithfully in the course of action that God has for you when things are not at their best. Now, I did a word study on this word patience. And in the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek, there's a couple of different words for the word patience. And I did a word study, and basically I came down to these definitions. This is what the word patience means. I define patience as endurance and perseverance. Patience is endurance and perseverance. Simply put, simply stated, patience is not quitting when things get tough. Patience is not quitting when things don't go according to your precise timing. It's persevering in the hard times as well as in the good times. Okay, let me give you a hypothetical illustration here tonight, okay? Say that in the year 2008, you have a financial goal, right? And your financial goal is that by the end of 2008, you want $2,400 in the bank. By the end of 2008. Now, how many months are in a year? 12 months, right? So that would require you putting aside $200 away a month, right? And so you've got this goal, you know, I want $2,400 in the bank by the end of 2008. So you faithfully begin saving your money. You begin ticking away faithfully. January, February, March, April, May, June. Things are going well. The money is coming in. You're working hard. And you're faithfully putting this money away. But in July of 08, it gets difficult. You have an unexpected expense. Maybe it's a medical bill. Maybe it's a housing expense. Okay? Maybe it's a food expense. Something comes up unexpectedly in the financial realm of your life. My question to you tonight is this. Do you quit saving that $200 a month when things get tough like that? No. You know, through patience and perseverance, endurance, you can continue to save the $200 a month. And it might take you working maybe another 20 hours extra those months. You see, losers, quitters, focus on what? People who have this quitting and losing mentality, they focus on the problem. Oh my goodness, I had this unexpected expense. I was faithful. Putting this money aside, January, February, March, and so on. Now I've got this bill. And you focus on the bill, the problem. But winners focus on what? They focus on the solution to the problem. So in this scenario, what might the solution be? It might be to work harder. It might be to get that second job. And to be patient and to persevere and endure even though that unexpected bill came about in your life. Does that make sense tonight? Amen. So patience is needed to be faithful in ticking faithfully in the course of action that you have. You know, in America, think about this. We've been conditioned to think what? Instantly, right? We're basically a microwave society. A microwave society, right? We like two things in America. We've been kind of conditioned to think this way. We like things that are fast and easy. Thus, microwaves. Let's not spend an hour cooking the meal at night. Let's just pop a frozen meal into the microwave and 5 minutes later, it's done. Fast food restaurants, right? You know, why go to a restaurant at the lunch hour and wait 30 minutes for your meal to be prepared, right? In America, we like to go to fast food restaurants, right? We just go in there, 5 minutes later, the meal is prepared. And better yet, we've got drive-thrus at these fast food restaurants. We've got drive-thrus at these cafes to make things faster and easier yet, right? We are a microwave instant society. And this mindset of everything being instant, fast and easy has robbed many Americans of this virtue called patience. Amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was driving down the street, right? And I was kind of making this, there was this pickup truck coming down this way, and I was coming up this way. I was going to make a left-hand turn. And I had plenty of time to make this left-hand turn, and because I delayed the guy about 2 seconds, guess what he did? He fingered me. It's road rage. What is road rage based upon? It's based upon this attitude in America of impatience. We just cannot wait. You know, a lot of Americans just cannot endure delays in their schedule. But this is a fruit of the Spirit, patience. It's a virtue that we need to develop in our lives. You agree with me tonight? All right. You know, if any of you ever have an opportunity to travel overseas, I would strongly encourage you to go to a country like India. I've been there 10 times. And let me tell you something. God has used India to stretch my patience like a rubber band. Anybody feel like their patience has ever been stretched like a rubber band, like an elastic band? Boom. You know, in America, somebody might tell you, I want to meet you tonight at 6 o'clock at this location for this activity, right? And at 6:05, they don't show up, 6:10, 6:15, and you're getting a little impatient, and finally they showed up, right? If it goes to 6:30 or 6:45, it's like you just get frustrated, you get, you know, kind of angry, it's like, where is this person? Well, you go to a country like India, and they're not a time-based society. I've been there 10 times, many, many months I've spent in India. They'll tell you this. They'll say this, Jonathan, we want you to meet us tonight at 6 o'clock at this location to do this activity or outreach. So 6 o'clock comes around. They don't show up. 6:15, and they're not there. 6:45, where is this person? 7 o'clock, 7:15, 7:30, they show up. See, in that society, it's time is not important. What's important is that you met for the night. And you know, so if you guys ever have an opportunity, visit an Asian nation like India. It will really stretch your patience like a rubber band. They're not a microwave society, I'll tell you that much. Now tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some of the heroes of patience. First and foremost, the utmost hero of patience is who? God the Father. Guess what? God the Father has a goal in mind. You know what that goal is? He's got a goal in mind. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. This is God's goal that he has in mind. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come, and then Jesus will appear. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations. You know what that word nations is in the original language? You know what it means? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every nation, to every ethnic group, to every tribe, and to every tongue. That's God's goal, is that everybody on the face of this earth would hear his good news.
Amen.
Right? Would hear his good news. Now, let's say that God was like some of us, impatient. And he thought to himself, you know what? This humanity that I created, they're sinful. They're rebellious. They're disobedient. They don't want to hear my good news. Let's say God was impatient. You know what? Forget them hearing the good news. I'm going to take the church up. Jesus Christ will return. And forget the rest. They'll be lost. But God is not that way, right? He is patient with us. He is patient with this world, right? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The patience of God the Father. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And this is what it says. The Lord is not... Actually, let's back up a few verses. Verse 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But let's skip down now to verse 8. And He says this, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance." Why hasn't Jesus returned the second time? Why hasn't God yet taken up His church at this time? Because He's patient. He's wanting every nation, tribe, tongue, and person to hear the gospel. He's wanting that none would perish. Does that make sense? He is a patient God. He'd rather put up with some of the sinfulness, the rebellion, and disobedience of humanity with the chance that they will be saved than to just say, you know what, forget them, they're not going to obey, let me take up my church, and then everybody be lost. Because He's patient, right? He's not like us. And God is the one we're to look at ultimately as our hero of patience. Number two, the second hero of patience is Jesus, God the Son. What does the Word of God say in 1 John 2:6? If anybody claims to live in Him, in Jesus, he must walk as Jesus walked, right? Amen. And the walk of Jesus was a walk of patience, a walk of endurance, a walk of perseverance, a walk of not quitting when things got tough. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus is our hero of patience. God the Son. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance," this is from the NIV, "the race marked out for us." Another translation says, "Let us run with patience the race marked out for us." Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. In other words, let Jesus be our model. The author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him did what? He endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus had a goal, like God the Father has a goal. What was the goal of Jesus when He walked this earth, when He died at the cross? What does it say in Luke chapter 19, verse 10? "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." That was His mission in life, right? Was to save lost humanity. And as he pursued that goal, that mission, it got pretty tough for Jesus, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did He do? He was just praying to God, and He felt like quitting. But He was patient. He had endurance. He had perseverance. He said, "Nonetheless, not my will, Father, but Your will be done with my life." He's a patient God. God the Son, Jesus Christ. "Not my will, but Your will be done." Now, why did Jesus faithfully pursue His course of action to seek and save the lost? Why did He endure patiently with this virtue, this fruit called patience? Why did He not quit? Look what the Word of God says in Hebrews 12:2. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. It was because of the joy set before Him that He endured that hard time and still went to the cross. He felt like quitting. Who was the joy set before Jesus? It was you and it was me. He was looking ahead and saying, you know what? That lost humanity will be saved one day. So I gladly and with patience will die at the cross for them. Amen? Amen. Jesus is our hero of patience, endurance, perseverance. Paul the Apostle. Name was Saul before he was converted, but Paul after his conversion to Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle had a goal in life. What was Paul the Apostle's mission in life? To preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And he preached and pursued that course with what? With the fruit of the Spirit called patience, endurance, perseverance. It got tough for Paul. Remember last week we read in Corinthians? He was shipwrecked, right? He was stoned. He was beaten with rods. He went without food, without clothes sometimes. Sleepless nights. Concern for the churches. I mean, he had reasons to quit while he was faithfully pursuing his course of action. But he didn't quit, right? He faithfully pursued it because he had this virtue, this fruit of the Spirit working in him called what?
Patience.
Called patience. Let's look at what he writes in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 6. Let's back up to verse 3. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. This is the NIV. In great endurance. Another translation says in great patience. In troubles, hardships, and distresses. In beatings, imprisonments, in riots. In hard work, sleepless nights, in hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness. In the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love. If anybody had reasons to quit on the faithful pursuing of his course of action, it was who? It was Paul the Apostle. But the fruit of the Spirit called patience worked in his life. It's got to be the same way for us. Now, in our lives, what areas do we have to endure in, to be patient in? Let's look at Romans 8:25. 8:25, and this is what it says. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it impatiently? For if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Friends, my question to you tonight is this. What is your hope, your dream, God's mission for your life, God's purpose for you? Be patient as you pursue that course of action. And as you're patient and enduring, guess what? You'll be faithful at pursuing it. Consistently steady. You know, do you dream of a stronger relationship with your spouse or with somebody else? Do you dream of a better job, better health, a deeper walk with God? Guess what it's going to take? Faith plus patience to reach these goals. Let's look at Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. And this is what it says. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and what? Patience inherit what has been promised. It's going to take faith and patience, the fruit of the Spirit called patience. We defined it as endurance, as perseverance, to inherit what has been promised in the Word to you. For you to achieve your goal, your mission in life, God's purpose for you, it is going to take faith and it's going to take that long suffering. That's what patience is too. It's suffering a long time until you reach your goal. You know, I've heard this said a while back that the richest, where is the wealthiest place in this world?
Graveyard.
The graveyard. Why? There is a wealth of untapped potential in that graveyard. People that should have started corporations that never did. People that should have been medical doctors and nurses that never did. People that should have written books that never did. People that should have started Christian universities in other countries that never did. Why? Because they may have started in their course of action. Maybe they were faithful for some time, but when it got tough, they did what? They lost hope. They became impatient. They lost patience. Didn't persevere, did not endure, and never fulfilled the calling God had for their life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? We do not want to be graveyard statistics. God has got a plan. He's got a purpose. He has got a mission for your life. Will you endure and persevere when it gets tough? Or will you quit? I'm here to tell you tonight, persevere and don't give up in Jesus' name. Abraham is a prime example of a man who is patient. A prime example. God promised him in Genesis 12. What did he say? He said, Abraham, I am going to make you a father of many nations. He was 75 when God promised him this. Guess how old he was when Isaac, the promised son, was born? He was 100 years old. Abraham did not waver at the promise. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. This is what it says. Verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it might be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, verse 17, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were, against all hope. Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without, now here's the key. Here was his patience, his endurance, without weakening in his faith. In other words, we could say by enduring in his faith, by persevering in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now, let me tell you something. Naturally speaking, a man 100 years old and a woman about 99 cannot give birth to a child. Naturally speaking, they're dried up. It's not going to happen, naturally speaking. Abraham waited 25 years, and it says, without weakening in his faith. He persevered, he endured in believing that what God promised would be fulfilled. And 25 years later, it was fulfilled with the birth of Isaac. Isaac was the one through whom the nations would come. Isaac was the one through whom Abraham would become the father of many nations. He did not waver. He kept faithfully believing God. Why? Because he was a man of great patience. How long have you been believing God for your miracle, for your dream, for your goal, for his mission to be accomplished in your life? Some of us have waited a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years. Abraham waited 25 years. Constant faith. It takes patience through the hard times to stick close to God and gain eternal life. Let's look at James 1 again. Sorry, I have lots of scriptures, but there's lots of scriptures that talk about patience. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Another translation says, the testing of your faith develops patience. Perseverance, patience must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If you remain faithful to God until the end, until he comes back for you, guess what? You inherit the gift of eternal life. Who's a great example of this in the Bible? Of somebody who stuck close to God through the thick and the thin. Job. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 11, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance. Another translation says, you have heard of Job's patience and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Job was persistent. Now, Job had a goal in mind. Do you know what that goal was?
Living for God.
Job 1:1 says this. You don't have to turn there. But in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He was following close after God. That was his goal in life, was to be close to God. But something happens. He hit a valley. He lost everything. His children, his wealth, his possessions, everything was gone in the matter of days. His wife even said to him in verse 9 of chapter 2, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. In chapter 13, Job says this, though he slay me, yet will I still serve him. Let me tell you something. If anybody had reasons really to quit, it was Job, right? But he continued faithfully in his walk with God. Why? Because he was a man of great patience, a man of great endurance and perseverance. He would not quit in his walk with God. Look what it says in the last chapter of Job. It just kind of excites me. Job chapter 42. It says this. Verse 12, 42:12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Keren Hapuk. 15. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. Job was patient in his walk with God. His wife was telling him, just curse God and die. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You have got to be patient in your walk with God, your walk with Jesus. It's going to get hard at times. You will face trials of your faith in life. People may persecute you for sharing the gospel. They may laugh at you. They may slap you. They may spit on you. Let me ask you, when you hit those hard times, are you going to quit?
No.
Or with the patience and perseverance of Job, will you continue faithfully pursuing your walk with God?
Amen.
Say tonight with me, like Job, I will faithfully, with patience, pursue my walk with God and with Jesus Christ. I will not quit when it gets tough. Because in my life, I am nurturing this fruit of the Spirit called patience, which is endurance, persevering, not quitting when it gets tough. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what, guys? A lack of patience also brings about bad choices. If you don't have patience, you know, I've seen it in my own life where I have gotten impatient with certain people in certain situations. You know, God is perfecting this fruit in my life called patience. I've gotten impatient in my life, and you know what? It's caused some little bit of a contention in my relationship with others. You know what? If you become impatient with certain people and you can't endure the delay or the waiting, it may strain your relationship with that person. You know, if you're impatient and you're looking for someone to marry, ask God. Don't just jump into marriage with the first person you meet. You make an impatient decision that way, and you can pay for it the rest of your life. See, impatience leads to bad decisions. And I just want to close it with this tonight. How do we strengthen our patience at the end? How do we strengthen this fruit of the Spirit in our life called patience?
Prayer.
How do you nurture it? How do you strengthen this virtue, this fruit called patience? The Ecclesiastes.
There we go. The answer is.
The answer is. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. You know, a little child, a two-year-old, is the center of his own world, right? Everything has got to go his way. And if it doesn't, he'll scream, he'll cry, he'll stomp his feet on the ground sometimes, right? And you know what? A lot of adults are that same way. They are just the center of their own world. And if things don't go their way, they get impatient. They get angry with God. They get into strife. They start stomping their feet in a figurative sense. And they lose their patience. So the first way to cultivate this fruit of the Spirit called patience is to do what? It's to die to selfishness and to pride. Impatience is based in pride. Just put your life on the altar of God. Offer yourself up as a living sacrifice to God. And just say, you know what? I'm going to die to self. If things don't go my way, guess what? I don't care. But if you're number one in your own life, if you're the center of your own world and things don't go your way, impatience creeps in and it'll mess things up. Number two, nurturing this fruit of the Spirit called patience, strengthening it. Just pray to God and say, God, could you strengthen this good thing called patience in my life? Let me tell you something. I've prayed that to God before. And let me tell you something. If you pray to God, He will answer the prayer. He will stretch your patience. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, actually. Because you can go a lot further in life with this virtue, this fruit called patience. Just say, God, I'm an impatient person. I want things right now. I live in a microwave society. Could you please help strengthen the patience, the perseverance, the endurance in my life? And guess what?
He will.
Number three, how to strengthen your patience. Keeping your eyes on the prize like Jesus did. Jesus endured the cross for what? For the joy set before Him. What is your goal? What is your mission? What is your prize in life? What has God set out for you to do? It may be an immediate goal financially, in relationship, in healing in your body, but what has God called you to do career-wise, ministry-wise? If you keep your eyes on the prize, keeping your eyes on the goal and saying, you know what? I am going to accomplish that. I am going to achieve it no matter what, because this is what God has called me to do. It gives me satisfaction to achieve what God has called me to do. And if you keep your eyes on the prize, I'm becoming the best nurse. I'm becoming maybe the best business person. I'm becoming the best worker for your employer. Guess what? You will be faithful. You will faithfully pursue your course of action, but you've got to endure. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. Now, let me give you this illustration tonight. Let's say you go out to work on a hot day, and your goal, immediate goal for that day is like $50 or $60, right? Oh man, by the end of the day, if I work hard, I'm going to make this $50 or $60. That's your prize, is the $50, right? Well, guess what? No matter how hot it gets, you're going to do what? You're going to faithfully work for that employer. Why? Because your eye is on the prize. And even though it gets really hot and your mouth gets dry, you drink some water and you continue to endure, to be patient, to persevere throughout that hot day, throughout the heat of the day, right? Why? Because your eye is on the prize, on your wage at the end of the day. So the third way to increase your patience is to keep your eyes at all times on the goal, on the prize. And you know what? This is a fruit that I believe God wants, a fruit of the Spirit that God wants every one of us to develop. And another way, the final way, the fourth way to increase your patience is to keep doing what? To keep trusting God.
Amen.
You know, you can't endure pain if you just keep trusting in yourselves. If you just rely on your own mind, you will go crazy. Leave the matter in God's hands and knowing that He's got the whole situation under control. You know what? That gives you inner peace. Just wait it out. Just trust God. Don't leave it. Your own mind will drive you in circles. Just determine on the inside, God, I'm trusting you. This is what you've told me to do. This is my objective. This is my goal. This is my dream. This is your purpose for my life. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I will be faithful. I will be consistent in the course of action that you have given to me. And I will endure, God, because I am trusting in whom? In you, God. Amen? So, you know, I just pray for you guys tonight that God really does develop this in you and in me. It's something that's got to be developed in me. And I encourage you this week to pray to God to really, really grow this fruit of the Spirit in your life called patience. And He will do it. God has got great things for you, but you've got to endure. You can't quit when it gets difficult. Amen? You agree with that tonight? All right. Yeah. Questions at the end, please. Real quick, Amari.
We talk about the heroes of patience, right?
Yes.
Well, what about the heroes who are impatient, like Moses was impatient?
That's true. Caused them to stay in the wilderness a whole lot longer. There's negative repercussions, negative consequences to impatience. You know? But anyway, that's a good point. That's a point to think about.